Our scriptural affirmation today comes from Luke, the 22nd chapter, starting at the 54th verse. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him."
And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not."
And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew.
And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter.
And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice."
And Peter went out and wept
bitterly. Oh, dear Father, we thank you that you have brought us to this point, to this place that we can worship you, to this place that together we can come and celebrate you. And as we celebrate you, we celebrate the gift that you've given us of mothers. We are just grateful, Lord. And we ask that today you would just fill us with your spirit, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you would help us to hear you so that we might know how to love each other well. You're good, Lord, and we are grateful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I get a very personal remembrance. A very personal understanding of his goodness and grace. Sometimes you forget how good God has been, or you're not aware that he's with you. But it seems like a moment ago, but it was a while ago, and hopefully it's many more years to come. God gave me a gift that would allow me to recognize his presence in my life day in and day out and day in and day out. It would be a humbling presence. It would be a humbling thing because it would make me go, "Oh, wow." So often, Betty, come here for a moment. Today, as many days, I couldn't find my Bible when it was time to preach. And my wife went diligently looking all over the place, and she couldn't find it either. So she parted with her Bible, which is heavier than anything I could have imagined. This woman is strong. I mean, woo. And so she, look. Strong man. Little petite woman. We need not forget that the people in our lives are also a part of the presence of God in our lives. You see, if you are born again, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that person then has the Spirit of the living God. And so you can reach out and touch and be kind to and love someone with the Spirit of God in them. And if they're not there yet, you can pray for them. to have the Spirit of God. Now, the challenge with that is that they'll be like Betty and become much stronger in the Word of God than you are. But there'll be a constant reminder of the goodness and grace of our Father. Thank you. The strange relationship you'll have with the things of God, the ways of God, what God is doing in your life. Sometimes it's so challenging, the circumstances that you have to deal with. Sometimes it's so challenging the way that you go through life and you're humbled. But that's okay, because God says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He will exalt you in due time. He will give you an opportunity to live in such a way that glorifies Him. He will exalt you. He will allow you the recognition that the Spirit of God living in you allows you to walk in the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, allows you to walk in His goodness and grace, allows you to move forward in Him and through Him and by Him. But sometimes you first must go through some stuff so you can have a recognition that you need Him. One of the most poignant recognitions of the challenges we have when we are at odds with God or at odds with truth, sometimes the most poignant recognitions come at the most difficult times, when you realize you're not all that. Have you come to the place where you realize you're really not all that? Have you come to the place when you're not as strong as you thought you were? You're not as smart as you thought you were. You're not as sneaky as you thought you were. You're not as able to do what needs to be done as you thought you were. That's where Peter finds himself in this story. Look with me at Luke. And in Luke, we've been looking at the approach of the cross. And in that approach, we come to this part of the story that is one of those that really shakes me in a lot of ways. Verse 54. Then took they him. The officials have come out against Jesus. It's like something out of a weird movie. They come in the middle of the night with all kinds of people and with torches and all kinds of stuff. Jesus has spoken, and they were thrown back, and but yet He allowed them to take Him. By the way, when they were thrown back by the power of the Word of God, Peter thought that was a signal, we're getting it on, let's fight. So he tried to take somebody's head off with a sword, and Jesus picked the ear up off the ground and put it back on the man's face. What a weird thing that must have been. Peter is now really confused. Are we fighting? Are we not fighting? Are we resisting? Are we not resisting? What's going on here? I promised that you would never see me desert you, and now I'm willing to die with you, but it doesn't seem like you're willing to live. I don't know what you're doing, Christ. I don't understand, Jesus. I don't get it. What should we do now? And everybody else starts to run. So Peter starts to run as well. And he runs off into the night. But he doesn't go very far. Then they took him, that's Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. Now, Caiaphas is the high priest now. Caiaphas is the son-in-law of Annas, who was the last high priest. So he comes into the priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. So Peter is like following in the darkness. There's the light of all of the hubbub and the torches and stuff, and he's following after, and he's following after, and he's going with them just to find out what's going to happen. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, the outer hall there, they decided to have a fire so that the soldiers could warm themselves. It must have been a day like this where the weather was cooler than it might have been expected. It must have been something different. So they've got this fire going on. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set, Peter sat down among them. You ever find yourself sitting down with the enemy? You ever find yourself sitting down because you want to be close to God, but your attempt to be close to God sets you down in the midst of the enemy? Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire. She's looking at him, and the fire is flickering, and saying, he looks familiar for some reason. I know that face. And earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. This is one of them. This is one of the ones you went out and has been following him. This is him. Is this the one that took off the ear? This is one of them. He was with him. And Peter then denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. I don't even know who this is. I'm just a stranger sitting up here that wanted to come in to see what's all this going on. I don't know anything about him. After a little while, another saw him. He didn't get up and run away. After a while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. You're one of them. You're one of the ones that's been following him. You're of those people. Thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Have you ever been around the fire of circumstance and you're just trying to get warm in the midst of a confusing situation? And you're tempted. You're tempted to deny that you are a part of the body of Christ. You just want to get out of the situation. You just want to see what's going to happen, but you don't really want to take the time and energy it takes to go through with it. Yesterday I had a fascinating experience. It was really fascinating. I was in a store and doing some shopping. It's that season that males go out and hunt, you know, hoping that they'll find the right kind of prey and praying that what they catch is going to be acceptable. And so I was there, and I ran into this guy. He looked kind of familiar. Big guy, tall and big. I kind of thought I knew him, and you know, kind of a preacher's thing is that you kind of think you know everybody anyway. So you speak. And that was all he needed to talk to me. And the line that I was in was exceedingly long. And so I stood, I said, well, excuse me, I got to go get in line. And he starts telling me stuff that was interesting. I think that's the best way I'll put it. He didn't believe in Jesus. I must have looked like a preacher, because he wanted to tell me he didn't believe in Jesus. He wanted to tell me that he believed that the ancient such and such did such and such, and if you knew the secret word and the secret... I mean, this went on for like 20 minutes or a half hour as this line slowly moved forward. And I just wanted to, at points, I have to tell you, at points, I just wanted to say, oh yeah, you're right, man. You got it. Thanks for telling me. See you later. I kind of tried a little bit of that, but he said something that struck me. I don't believe in that Jesus. And I said, no, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. And it was such a weird thing, because he didn't stop. And we went on, and it really... it's a story in and of itself, going through the line and paying for the items, and even he followed me outside. And his poor little wife, I looked at her and said, this must happen to you a lot, you know? And she says, yes, it does. I mean, we're in a parking lot. She's standing outside her car hoping he'll just click the clicker so she can get in. But I had to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't you have those situations where you just want to be quiet? Don't you have those situations where you don't want to start a fight? They make political statements, and you just want to go, I really don't agree, but I don't want to fight. I don't want to have to explain my whole life to you to do this. I just want to get by. And Peter is now in a place where he just wants to get by to see what's going to happen. This, he doesn't feel like this is the time he's supposed to witness to what he's seen and heard. This isn't that time. He just wants to be there. He's at the fire trying to warm himself, and the fire of this situation doesn't want to warm him. It wants to burn him. When you find yourself in the fire of these circumstances, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do when you come face to face with who you are and the stuff that you've said and the stuff that you haven't said? What do you do when the fire is burning and it looks like it might burn you? What do you do? Are you willing to speak the truth? Are you willing to go through the fire? Anyway, verse 58, after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. About the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. He's full force now. Will he admit that he knows him? Or will he slide away? Will he slide away? Or will he say, I know Jesus? And Peter said, man, I know not. what thou sayest. What in the world are you talking about? And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. The chickens had come home to roost. And the rooster crowed. And he remembered what Jesus had said to him, that he would deny him. And he had confidently said, I'm never going to deny you. You can't make me deny you. No way that's going to happen. And now it's not that long after, and he denies him, and he's looking through the door, and Jesus lifts up his head and meets his eyes. And just like he said, he denied him, and it ate at his heart. It ate at what he thought of himself. You would think, I'll never, I'm strong. Nobody could stop me from saying that Jesus is Lord. Nobody could stop me. No situation would keep me from saying that Jesus is the one that I follow. Nothing could stop me, not even the threat of death. Do you understand what you are saying when you say, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? You've given yourself completely over to him. Do you feel like you've given yourself completely over to him, or have you only given yourself over to him situationally? I believe him on Sunday morning, and I'm ready to stand and sing about his presence. I believe that one day we'll fly away. But when I am in the fire of circumstances out in the world, I don't feel like saying too much. I don't feel like embarrassing myself. I don't feel like dealing with the heat of people's opinions. I don't feel like dealing with the circumstance that would demand that I act in a particular way so that I might glorify him. I don't feel like giving myself over as a living sacrifice. My goodness, he'll get me when I'm dead. Why do I have to live for him? Why do I have to be for him right now? Why do I have to go for this right now? I know I said I would be a living sacrifice, that I would be holy. I would walk in truth and righteousness because I have the righteousness of Christ, and that was a gift. I know that I said I would do certain things, like I wouldn't be conformed to this world. I wouldn't let the world press me into its mold, but that I would be transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I might prove, demonstrate, show what is that good and perfect will of God. I said I would do all of that. I said that I wouldn't be kept from proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. But now the heat of the circumstance, now the challenge is before me, and it's so oppressive. It's so oppressive. I can hardly stand it. I can't say what I need to say. It's so oppressive. It's weighing me down, and I'm not what I thought I was. I thought I could do it. I thought I could do it. I thought I could do it. But I don't know what I believe. And now Jesus reminds me. He said I would go through this. He said I would go through this. He said I would go through it. He said I would have those days where I don't understand why I behave the way that I behave. I don't understand why I can't get it together. Oh, what a tremendous and challenging thing it must have been. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. It's tough when you find out you're not all that you thought you were. It's tough when you come to the realization that you're not so strong. Oh, but praise be God. Praise his holy name, because he died for your weakness. He died for your sin. He died for your lies. He died for his truth. He died so that you might live. He let his blood flow down that you might live. He said, I know them. They're just dust. But because I declare it, they are my righteousness. And today, as we mourn who we would be without him, we celebrate. You see, today is a day of celebration. Today is to celebrate who we are because we have him. We are to celebrate who we can be because he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. We can celebrate because he loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You and I, oh, my goodness, are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He's the one who died for me. He loves me. There's someone that loves you today. There's someone that loves you today more than you love yourself. There's someone that loves you today, even in the middle of your mess. There's someone that loves you today that's reminding you that he's even telling your friends, when he's converted, when he gets it, when he's changed, when he's turned around, tell him I love him. God loves us. God cares for you. And you can celebrate that. Don't fool yourself. Without him, you are nothing. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can. In him, we live and move and have our very being. Don't stay at the place where you're stuck, beat down, a failure. Come out and be filled with the Spirit. Today is the day. Receive him. You might want to pray this. I believe Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the one foretold of in Scripture, I believe Jesus is both my Lord, the one who has control to tell me what to do, but he's also my Savior, the one who has sent the Spirit of God to empower me. He gives me grace, unmerited favor, grace, the empowerment to live right. He gives me that. I believe that with all of my heart. And you've said that if I believe that I too would be saved. So, Lord, I thank you for saving me. I don't go by my feelings. I don't even go by the things I've done. I don't go by past circumstances or present dilemmas. I go by the very word of God. Today I'm yours. And I thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As the guys play, you can feel free to come to the altar and just say thank you to God. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, the Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Today is your day. Come to Him, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.